We're just glad to be with you. And listen, 2010, not too far away from 2012. Some of the big things may be occurring in just about a year and a half. But right now, it is the providence of God within this hour, 6 o'clock p.m. to 7 Eastern Standard Time, Shatter the Darkness live broadcast. I'm glad to be with you. If you're new to this voice, my name is Russ Dizdar, and we are on the web, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Now, on that site, we put down the listing of everything we're doing Monday, well, now Monday through Saturday. So we have the live show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We have special interviews this week. We have Survive to Thrive as a guest host for Steve Quayle on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We now have The Ragged Edge, the old Sunday night show, is moved to Wednesday at 7 p.m. And listen, even tonight, right after this show, immediately following the show, with Derek and Sharon Gilbert from PID Radio, we're going to do an interview. So they'll be calling me about 1 to 2 minutes after I get off tonight, and we'll be on live with them. For all the links to get on live from our site, shatterthedarkness.net, you just simply go there. It will tell you the theme for the week. Here it is, that ancient tree of darkness. The counterfeit is real. We're going to delve into this week the dark side of the supernatural. In this sense, though, that dark stream. I was sitting with Richly Abused again this week. I'd been on the phone with a number of individuals this week, and we were discussing again what came up back in the early 90s, and that was that an individual had written, actually drew out in this incredible picture of a tree, and there were things in the tree. There was things listed at the trunk of the tree, but it was the roots that went out every direction. And that theme has come up again and again and again. It came up the other night, so I'm going to put it out there because we've heard different versions of it. But no sooner did I get this up and out and placed out there than, well, an individual that knows about and is connected to, and at this point it seems defends and promotes the ancient tree. This is a reference, a pictorial reference to the deep, dark, satanic stream that goes all the way back to Genesis 3. So we're going to talk about that stream and the roots, really, that have grown, and the project in developing troops for Antichrist, servants of Antichrist. Listen, if you're a believer in Christ and you read the Word of God, you understand, and so many know, that the Antichrist is going to come. But there are going to be those that are going to be in his regime already. I believe there'll be millions that will already be a part of that underground regime that has developed and is bulging at the seams and is prepared to unleash the hell on earth to collapse it all in order to bring in the new, well, a replacement. And it will be unprecedented. Jesus, listen, everything you can read about this is in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus Christ brings out the depths of this and again spells the days that involve the full manifestation of satanic presence as the most economic, environmental, and national, global, catastrophic time in human history. Now listen, Jesus Christ said it, that unless he himself would even come and cut those days short, it's very possible that there would be all of humanity would be annihilated. For those of you connected to that ancient tree and know what I'm talking about, you're at fault. You're part of that system. And by God's grace, as you listen, there is an invitation from the living Christ and a pure blood, the blood of God. You understand that. The dark side understands that. And all that know the Lord Jesus, you understand the power of the blood of Christ. It involves the forgiveness of sin, the freedom from sin, the deliverance from satanic legal rights, freedom from ultimate death in hell. and it has everything to do with relationship to God, eventually indestructible immortality, seeing God face to face, all based on what occurred at an old rugged cross where God in Christ, sinless Lamb of God, the sin bearer of the world, conquered it all, opened the doors, all because he loves you, all because he seeks you and pursues you and wants you out of the darkness and into not counterfeit New Age light, not counterfeit occult light, not counterfeit masqueraded light, but listen, the real stuff, the infinite living presence of Christ. Read John's Gospel chapter 1. You're going to find out the Logos, the eternal Logos, that is the reason for all that exists, that which is behind all of the material existence, something that Stephen Hawking could learn from if he's open to learning from God, that there is a cause behind the grand design. And it is God, and God is awesome. And today I come to say, in this name, Yahweh Adonai, or the Lord Jesus Christ, we simply bring to you a message. I want to say thank you. Thank you to all of you who pray. We're going to need your prayers this week because of, involving ourselves into deliverance prayer. Just the other night, we had some people that we absolutely love over, and we're dealing with SRA, satanic ritual abuse, the multiplicity issues, the deep chosen one stuff, all the way into the bloodline, all that stuff, all of it. And there's a human being before me that has been just ravaged by the dark side in every possible way, with personalities committed to the dark side, committed to the demons, committed to fighting God, committing to revel in the great chaos to come in Christian blood, wanting and literally standing strong in their position. Summoning the demons, trying to get the entire person taken back into the coven. And, it involves their shedding of blood and their crimes. Crimes against God, crimes against humanity, which is crime against God. They understand the tree. They're part of the tree. It's something about they're able to go to it. Spiritually, they're connected. And they also see it as deeply rooted, has gone global, and that it goes way back. We're going to talk about that tonight. Again, if you're tuning in tonight, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. The theme this week, simply that ancient tree of darkness. And really, in some sense, contrary to the tree of life, biblically, not the Kabbalah, not the occult version, but we're talking about the tree of life because it involves that indestructible immortality. It involves what God has done in the giving of life and the angelic presence that was there to protect it. You and I don't have any idea how deep, broad, wide the fall of the human race, the entrance of darkness, the fallen cherub, and how everything, including the created order, that is groaning, that is in pain, that is sentient, looking for the day of redemption for a new heaven and a new earth. Even creation looks for God in bringing the redemption to them. Because sin and Satan, us opening the door, we even infected and allowed to be infected the created order. Not everything around us is as it should have been. Should have been eternal. Should have been walking visually with God. Should have been majestic in our imago Dei. Should have been no disease, no crime, no death, no aging process, no heart attacks, no rape, no wars, no hunger, no abuse. But that all changed. And the only way back to not only the majesty that once was, but because of God in Christ and the power of redemption, hear me now, What Christ does at the cross takes redeemed humanity further and broader and more glorious than even the Adamic nature prior to the fall of the human race. What can wash away my sin? Well, there's nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me white as snow? Listen, get out the ancient song, sing the hymn in the power and the presence of God, and just feel God's embrace all over you. He does inhabit the praises of his people. And so I encourage you this week, keep your prayers up, keep your praise up, and continue, believers in Christ, continue to serve God with a growing passion, with a growing strength and ability and fruitfulness. Now is not the time to sit back and just complain. Just complaining, take a read, Philippians 3, just complaining doesn't really solve anything. If you want to make your mark, it is God that enables you to do that. Well, listen, again, I'm mentioning, and I'll mention it quickly here, the live broadcasts all this week, including at 7 o'clock Tuesday night and 7 o'clock Wednesday night. So that's about seven of these one-hour episodes that we have with you. Well, that we're going to talk about this ancient tree of darkness. And let me tell you, Monday night, tonight, the tree of life, the tree of death, darkness does have a history reaching into the future. We have an interview at 7 p.m. with PID Radio, Sharon and Derek. We have an interview with Carlotta at the Crosswalk Talk Radio at 9 p.m. tonight. Those are both live, and you can tune in. Tuesday night, the title, Counterfeit Dark Powers Are Real, Deceiving Millions. But we haven't seen anything yet. Dealing with the Satanic Chosen Ones and true stories that are occurring right now, where the church has been infiltrated, where counterfeit works are being done. Now, the 7 o'clock hour on Tuesday night, layers of darkness and the precursors to the deception of Homo Satanus. And all the military folk, DARPA and all the rest, Russian Psy warriors included, all of you should take note Tuesday night at 7. Wednesday night at 6, the infiltration of the church. How do they do it? Do we fight? Is it a matter of fright? Is it a matter of running away? Or is it a matter of, like, where's the faith? Where's the faith as we see it in the book of Acts? Let me just tell you this. In preparation for Wednesday night, read Acts chapter 5, and you'll see what I'll be talking about. The Ragged Edge Show now, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. We're going to continue. We'll have live chat, and you can send in questions and so forth. Sometimes we'll open up the phones for discussion. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. after our regular show here. Thursday night, we have the title, The Subversion of U.S. Military by Supernatural Design. Why Physical Weapons Cannot Detect Dark Powers. We also have an interview with Greg on the All Things Common show. We got the link there on the site for that. That's going to be at, I believe it's 8 p.m. And Friday night, we will be out into Pennsylvania, it looks like. And we'll do the live show from somewhere in Pennsylvania. Now that I've made that known, I'm sure that'll send an alert all the way through, and they'll be looking for us. Well, we might be looking for them. And I know one thing for sure, God, nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything's uncovered. Read about it, Hebrews 4. For all the perpetrators, all those connected to the ancient dark tree, the roots, all those who are basking in the coming satanic chaos. Well, for those of you that listen, those of you that monitor, those of you that do the rituals, those of you that summon, please understand, the hand of God will engage you. Yes, we're prayed up. Yes, we don't stand here by ourselves. The Lord stood by my side. There is a shielding of God's power. And just by numbers alone, there's more angels of God than fallen ones. And they have the backing of Yahweh. The name Jesus Christ, all the demons know. So tonight, in the providence of Well, not only the live, all of you who are listening right now from everywhere, we're grateful for that. Let me say to all those who will download by the thousands and thousands later on this week and this month, blessings again to you. I come with the heart of John 3:16, John 3:17, and that God is pursuing humanity. And just stop, turn back around, and hear the call of God in Christ and come out. Out of the darkness, into the light of God. Now, the difficulty is the massive, massive counterfeit light. And if you don't know the real light of God, the presence, power, life of the living Christ, then the counterfeit light may seem powerful, though it hides from exposure to the real thing. Anytime the real thing is around, listen, you get a jeweler that knows the difference between cubic zirconium and a diamond. And he's going to look at, a couple of, he's going to be able to tell you the difference. Either you've got the real, 1 John chapter 2, read about it. Either you've got the real anointing, the real presence of God, or you've got counterfeit. One brings you into joyful relationship to God in Christ. The other preoccupies you with constant spiritual experiences that seek to feed your ego and make you the center of the universe. And, that lie in the end will not float. I've got an email already today because of the materials that we put up this week about the ancient tree. I've got a number of undergrounders that we are talking with now, talking with this week. And we're going to discuss more of the tree. See, years ago, someone drew this out, very powerful. Matter of fact, they had connections to the Psy Warrior stuff and old Fort Bragg, all that kind of stuff too. But the tree comes up again and again and again. It's always drawn as this black, menacing-looking thing. But in the pencil drawing of the undergrounder chosen ones that have done these, and those who have explained it, even the individual yesterday where it was explained to me again and again. Well, I want you to know, listen, I'm reading to you a direct email I've gotten today because this individual pretty much monitors all that we do. And I'm talking about a sub-personality, one of those hidden, highly trained, highly able personalities. And they've already written in concerning what we're talking about. And here's what it says. I'm quoting to you, no names, but I'm quoting to you. They're writing to me and they're saying this: you have tried to rip up the roots of the ancient tree for years and have failed. You understand that the roots are deep and have spread throughout the world. Our bloodline is tied to that tree. What can one man do? Pretty interesting stuff. And there's a Holy Spirit perception and discernment about this comment, whether it's meant to be a challenge. I'll leave that up to the living Christ who knows all things. He's got my back, he's got my front, and all I can tell you is this. He knows of the secret power of lawlessness. He knows of the ancient tree, the center, and the roots that have spread throughout the world. It's the idea of a collective. It's the idea that the dark side on that side of the veil has built into this side the actual, I would say that the underground worldwide stream of darkness, including all those who are in direct worship of Lucifer himself, those who are part of the regime that's getting ready to bulge under the seams here, of our society. And all of that, it mirrors what's seen in the spiritual realm. It is literally a connection of the demonic that involves a connection into humanity. And this goes all the way back to Genesis 6. It goes all the way back into the transmuting of the human race by the B'nai HaElohim, the fallen ones that came down. And they tried to create hybrids and corrupt the human race. And we're going to discuss in one of the nights a little more detail about the concept of transgenics, gene splicing, not animal genes into human DNA, not that kind of enhancement, but what about ancient Nephilim blood that has been totally altered? You cannot even say that it's human blood. Now, we're going to talk about this because it involves the genetics. We know that the genetics of a panther is different than the genetics of a man. And that a black panther can see at night, can do numerous things that a man cannot do. Now, the concept of taking genes and then splicing those genes from that panther into a human being to create, again, the ability for night vision. Now, if you understand transgenics, and by the way, if you want a greater understanding, conference, Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference, Tom Horn's going to be here right in my backyard, Canton, Ohio. He'll be speaking, I'll be speaking, Derek and Sharon Gilbert from PID Radio, and Jeffrey Rad from Look Up Fellowship. Again, go to shatterthedarkness.net and just simply click on the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. You'll get a website, everything about it. All of the titles are up, too, for the sessions, and we're just about 2 weeks away. And we've been told a week ago that people from 12 states have already signed up and signed in, and I'm sure there'll be more. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody. Now, when I read this email that I've got today, and I know that I'll get others. Matter of fact, I heard from others today, but not directly like this one. A direct reference to the concept of, ancient bloodlines. Now, let's just talk about it for a second, okay? Just real quick here. Number one, the concept of a fallen angel. First of all, the concept of their genetics are absolutely and totally blackened, changed, transmuted. They are nothing. That's why Jesus said about Satan himself, the fallen cherub, that there's no truth in him. There's literally nothing in them of God, of the truth, nothing. By this transmutation of their beings, they are holy by will and now fixed for eternity, completely opposite of God in their nature. You understand the nature, God's nature. I feel and know the nature of God. We see it revealed in the Word of God. We see it revealed in the person of Christ supremely. And when Christ truly comes into a life, there is, in a real sense, this supernatural coming in of Christ by the Spirit of God in a new nature. Let me tell you something, that the fall of the human race has affected the genetics of man, infected with a presence that brings in a operating code, a code. You can read about this code in Romans chapter 8. It's not just the individual sins are there because of a nature, a force, a code within fallen humanity that is alive and operative until we get saved and that it's broken. It's one thing to be forgiven, but you got to understand something, especially if you're already a believer in Christ. The act of Christ coming in is not just forgiveness. It's much more than just forgiveness. It is total forgiveness, including an absolute severing of the old, dark, operative code, sin nature, that's hostile to God, that's operative, that leads us deeper and darker, and keeps the door open to the fallen cherub himself. So again, there's a great study of the true, well, the nature of man and the infected. We've been infected to where we've been changed. Salvation brings a change all the way down to our DNA. Because of the permeating presence of the Spirit of God and the application of the living person, life, and nature of Christ, here's how it sums up in Romans chapter 8. When the Spirit of God says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, it means permanently, has set me free from the law of sin and death. You've been forgiven, but you've been set free. And a new operative code is inside the believer. Anyone in all the world, everyone listening, wherever you're at, if you've received Christ, not only have you been totally forgiven, declared justified and righteous by God, but an actual operative presence that is more powerful than the old sin nature, that comes directly from God, whereas the old sin nature comes directly from the fallen one. How do I know this? Ephesians 2. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now operative in those who are disobedient, those who have that fallen nature. Do you have the fallen nature operative in you? And you can become a new ager, you can become a psychic, you can become Edgar Cayce himself. You cannot get rid of it. Too powerful for man. No dark presence will ever, nor can it, break that code and that separation. There's only one. Old rugged cross, sin bearer of the world, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Forgiveness and freedom are inseparable in the act of salvation. Forgiveness and freedom and a new power within, a new flame, the flame of the living Christ. So again, I just encourage all believers and those who have come to Christ, study deeply Romans. And I would say this to those that understand non-human enhancements. Now, we read about a lot of the physical side, but you've got to understand the Nephilim issue. You've got to understand Hitler and the goal at Levensborn to backbreed and get to the Aryan or the Godmen or the Nephilim tribes. And when I say tribes, don't think of something down in lower Africa, something crazy and primitive. We're talking about not human beings, but a crossbreed, a hybrid, where the genetics of the human being has been altered to where they no longer can be called human being. They are not redeemable. They are not savable. They are Nephilim. They are a crossbreed, which again, Crowley went after, Moonchild, and Jack Parson was attempting in the Babylon Working. So I want you to know right now that though many will say, well, this is something really on the fringe, is it really? It's biblical. Not only do we find this in Genesis 6, but we find it later on in the rest of Scripture in tribes that continually fought against Israel that was to have the presence of God and the will of God and the agenda of God and the Word of God deposited. They were to be the platform for God. But the operating darkness continued to fight, and it always will. It is, listen, this tree with its roots goes back to Genesis 3. There is an entrance into humanity. It involves legalities. It involves real presence. It involves the access to the planet, to the environment, to human procreation, to the human race. Now, if there's someone saying out there, you know what, I don't want Jesus Christ, I got my own spirituality, I can guarantee you that your so-called own spirituality cannot break the sin code, cannot evolve you out of it, cannot free you from the death code that is inseparably connected. The wages of sin is death. So if you take a look inside, if you're getting older and your body is losing, wait till you're 60, wait till you're 70, wait till you're 80 if you make it that far. I was at the flea market on Saturday for a few moments with my wife. I still have an injured leg, so it was tough for me to walk around. So I left there early and went back to the car. A little while later, as I was waiting for my wife to return, resting my foot, actually, that's the foot area, here comes a lady in her 70s pushing a man, a little man, a man that has been scaled down, a man that looks like he couldn't even walk. He's in a wheelchair, frail looking, and must have been 80, 85 years old. But out there at the flea market, out there enjoying life, but the physical body continues to burn. And there's not a thing cryonics can do. There's not a thing transgenics can do. Transhumanism will lose this battle over. You might be able to prolong life 70, 80, 90. There's people that reach 110 years old. Look at their bodies. Oh, we'll just download our entire personality into a computer somewhere, and then we'll upload it into a new cloned body. How much is that going to cost? Is that going to work? See, there's something about in dying, your human spirit leaving. You ever read it, Ecclesiastes 12, and goes back to God who gave it. You don't have control after death. You can talk about ancient rituals coded in twilight languages, covered and animated by dark powers. At the moment of death, can they collect the soul, the spirit of a man or a woman, and then transfer it lock, stock, and barrel into the daughter or the granddaughter or the next generation? So that person's living spirit or soul, crouched in dark powers, in dark magic with the K, are they really planted in another human being? That's what some claim. Some of the most bizarre deliverance encounters that we've had. But I'm going to stick with what God has said about absent from the body. Your human spirit will instantly leave. And you will know. You will know, and I'm going to tell you right now, there's so many people I've met as a pastor for years that they feared death. The fear of death was all over them. I don't know if you've ever studied this. I give this to the Satanists. I give this to the Luciferians. I give this to the folks in transhumanism that are hoping that science will save them. I'm giving this to the 2012ers that think that a spiritual evolution from a planetary wave will so evolve their consciousness and transform their being that they might become deity, homo lumos, or even eternal. Though there may be a counterfeit with a spiritual promise with tantalizing energies behind it, it has never worked for thousands of years, nor will it. And even though the dark side practices in rituals, death, resurrection, it's one thing to see a dead individual raised from the dead by power. How's that going to occur without power? I watch all the crazy movies out there and chemicals are going to, you know, reanimate a human body and all this kind of stuff. And it's always freakish and weird and it never turns out good, does it? It's like none of these people ever get, you know, reanimated and become, you know, come back as the most kind, helping, you know, generous people in the world. They all come back as, you know, meat-eating, brain-eating zombies. That should tell the dark side something, shouldn't it? That the science of taking a dying physical human being, and when they leave, detached from the body, who's going to get them? Houdini never did make it back, did he? Do you really see dead people? Or are those familiar spirits talking like, acting like Uncle Joe, Aunt Betty, Grandma Thelma, only to deceive you and draw you into a promise that cannot, by finite power, evolve you to infinite status? There's one way up and out, the resurrection of Jesus. Nobody in all of history said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Lazarus, come forth. Remember that? Lazarus, come forth. A man dead for all those days. You know, the one lady was correct. By this time, he stinks. His body, his physical body is liquefying and rotting. You ever smell the smell of a dead human body? You'll never forget it. When the life leaves the body, whether at an aged issue or disease issues, or whether someone's been shot or run over by a car, the human body, all it will do is liquefy and eventually rot, and ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But the elements are still there. Listen now. It's talked about as a mystery. We will not all sleep. In the twinkling of an eye, quicker than a blink, a flash, atomic, on an atomic level, by the exertion of the infinite immaterial presence of God into the material world, out of something, not out of nothing, comes life. Based on Jesus, what he demonstrated with Lazarus, life from the dead. Look what he was able to do. And all the underside wants to copy that. And let me tell you how many times I've been told that there are types of rituals in which they kill and try to resurrect through a combination of a particular demonic presence and demons. In other words, supernatural power to counterfeit and to do from the dark side what God has done by his hand. You ever read Romans chapter 1? Who by the Spirit of holiness was raised from the dead, declared with power to be the Son of God, Christ. Now, it didn't stop there, because the power of God that raised Christ from the dead is also that same power that caused the ascension and the glorification, which is the permanent, immortal, indestructible, indefeatable presence, infinite presence, eternal presence. It is by that hand that every believer in Christ is guaranteed, with a deposit already dwelling within you, the Holy Spirit, what is to come. Every believer listening right now, you shall be glorified. If not for that, your body would rot, liquefy, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, in the casket, in the ground, and that's it. You can put the ashes in an urn, put it up on the fireplace, and say that that's Uncle Harry. That's my mom. That's my dad. In a way, where are they really? Where will you be at the end of your days? Where will the Satanist and the Luciferian be? Where will the committed globalist be at the end of days? Embrace the darkness even when it says it's the light. It's not the same. Whatever counterfeit light individuals have embraced, the evidence is they don't have the presence of God, they have not been forgiven, they have not been liberated, and they don't have the deposit of the Spirit of God that guarantees the coming glorification and the ability to see God face to face. So the tree of life, in reference to God, the infinite God, having the ability to not only create life, redeem life, raise life from the dead, glorify life, and have indestructible, indefeatable, never changing, eternal immortality. Darkness has a deep and dark history, all the way back to Genesis 3. But it goes beyond Genesis 3. That was our part in the battle. How much further it goes back into the heavenlies, when the fallen cherub, the once anointed cherub, well, until wickedness, a willed, violent, known, plotted choice, a self-transmutation, a disintegration, desecrating his sanctuaries, no longer able to walk among the fiery stones of God. And for every sub-demonized Luciferic or perpetrator, it's a history the fallen cherub can never return to. It's one that he can't duplicate. And though his insatiable lust is to become God, never has. In thousands of years and all of his attempts at his own evolution and his own stream of darkness developing, and all that is occurring right now, the largest, broadest ramping up in human history. We haven't seen anything yet, my friends, and what's to come, including the abyss and including Armageddon, brings the pinnacle of dark, this dark stream, into the affairs of politics, military, economics, environmental, in the air, in lives, every city, every place. God just simply calls it Babylon, global. But you better read Revelation R chapter 18. I have talked to sub-personalities that have been created, split, bonded, programmed, demonized, and then grown into, eventually in many cases, their own choices of being in the darkness. They have tasted human blood, charged human blood. They believe that inside of them is at least some drops of the ancient Nephilim blood. Here's what they believe, whether you or I do or not. They believe in the ancient Nephilim blood because of the genetics. The powers are inherent in the genes of Nephilim blood. Because in the crossbreeding, fallen angel, corrupted fallen angel, dark fallen angel, whose own DNA, if you want to call it that, has been completely altered, engages fallen human women, creating Nephilim, hybrid, a mix. In that direct creation, obvious mutation, obvious in so many ways. You've heard Steve Quayle talk about the six fingers. You can go back and look at the history of this, more of it and more of it. I believe it's really a dark history that was meant to stay hidden. It is found in the darkest corners of old occultism. And what is there behind the veil has been operative in humanity. And for believers, this will make sense to you. When you go to the book, the Gospels, and you read of the genealogy of Jesus, you read of how he goes all the way back in his human side to Adam, passing all of the Nephilim stuff, passing all of that, we find a pure bloodline of total humanity that he comes from. See, we all come from someone. I've got a dad, he's died, he's gone. I knew his dad, my grandfather, he died, has been gone even longer. I didn't know his father, but he had a father, and 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 it just keeps going back and back and back. Now, throughout all of history, there's no question that in the direct creation of Nephilim, those were the high 100% genetically altered, transmuted, empowered, supernaturally, and physically enhanced. But if that Nephilim found another woman and created another child, diminishing. Anybody who's anything about breeding is a diminishing. And if that child, which is 90% Nephilim or 80%, goes to another human woman, that's how they looked at it. That's what they were convinced of concerning the Aryan. That the Aryan had the pure Nephilim blood. They were the God-men. They had the powers of telekinesis and clairvoyance and psychic and kinetic powers. And they were supernatural. They were healthier. They lived longer. They had more abilities. They were more brilliant. They were in touch with the beings. They were able to be in touch with the other entities, fallen entities, rulers, powers, principalities, cosmocrators, that direct open access. Please understand, Nephilim had no relationship to God. There's no such thing as a Nephilim ever getting saved, Nephilim ever being sorry. There's no such thing. So if that bloodline has come down, and if that bloodline in some sense, as they say, has been pure or kept pure, can I ask you a question? Have you thought this through concerning the Antichrist? If the Antichrist is going to have a real human mother, who is the father but Satan himself? And that mother, is she just simply any woman that's been picked out, or is she bloodlined? Is she prepared? Like in the deep recesses of all of this dark satanic ritual abuse, I hope the United States, I hope that Europe, and even the Russians now listen. Among you are millions. Since the 40s, specifically the 50s, among you are millions. Millions of those in their 50s approaching 60. Millions that have been, by spiritual process, selected. Spiritual process, spiritual power, spiritual timing, spiritual design, all dark side. That involves not a redemption, not a biblical transformation, but a transmuting of the human core. The goal to change a dark and sinister technology, science, that has been applied, that has the kind of concept of transgenics. All the dark side knows, all the Satanists know, all of those of you listening that are SRAers that have the personalities that still do it. You know what the difference between charged blood and Nephilim blood. Now, here's something that all of us can listen to for a few moments if we've been looking into this. There is the Nephilim blood pure. There is Nephilim blood that is dumbed down and may have no, you know, almost really nothing left in it. There is also the concept that Nephilim blood can be charged. In other words, there are rituals that are done that where there are those that have this bloodline or claim it, that through human sacrifice, the raising of demons that attach to the blood and the properties of the blood that come through that gateway and literally invade, permeate, animate the blood. The life is in the blood. The demonic presence can be in the blood. Charged blood, abilities, powers, then can be unleashed into a human. Powers to see into the spirit world, the so-called third eye being opened, spiritual perception, spiritual abilities begin to open up. But it's all come from that side. All of which doesn't open one eyelid of body, soul, or spirit to God, but only to that dark stream. Well, listen, we have been going at this for about 50 minutes tonight. And this is kind of the introduction for the entire week that we're going to be engaging this concept, because we really need to bring, and I'm saying this to the Canadians, I'm saying this to those in the United States, among you, if Canadian psychiatrist Colin Ross is correct in his book, in which he's accumulated from all the other books, probably more of the factual freedom of information, all those things that are out there, we made great reference to it. There is great documentation to it, the MKUltra, the Monarch, all of that, but that's all old stuff. It relates to those who are in their 50s that are part of those projects, and they're not just mind control projects. It's all about non-human enhancements. It's all about the concept of a super soldier, a transmuted human being that is opened absolutely wide to the dark side. It all involves the charging of blood, the transmission of charged blood. Why do you think they drink it? Why do you think you got to understand, there's a reason why they drink it. Powers in the blood. The difficulty, it's not the same as pure Nephilim. And so the constant goal to backbreed, the constant goal to go back, the desire, and I believe it's not just a human endeavor. I am, and I've been this way since the early 90s with all of this, I'm convinced that this dark tree of death, this dark stream, this is their science. Their desire to get back in on every level includes the level of the Nephilim, beasts, Theron, wild, looking like a human, but not. We are told in Holy Spirit given predictive prophecy, Revelation 6, the pale horse. Listen, do the study on it. 1/4 of mankind dies by the sword, Greek word referring to military battle, by famine, and by pestilence, disease-oriented, maybe chemical, whatever. But also, you're talking a couple billion people on the human on the planet dying, but also by the beasts of the earth. Get the phrase? Beast. Theron, same word used of the Antichrist, same word used of the false prophet. Theron. It's all connected to this centrality of the tree of death and what it represents. And the roots of the project that has gone global are there satanically selected, bred, chosen ones in Russia, throughout Europe and the Netherlands, all throughout England? Is there a bloodline? Is the prince really a part? The Merovingian is the real issue of Gnostic blood and the Grail, is that really about the dark side blood? All the chosen ones, that is, those who have been bred in the process of going back and trying to obtain it, have also had again and again and again and again and again ritualized, charged, demonized blood. And that demons do bring a charging to their blood, abilities, control, and animating their character for the agenda. Well, listen, we have come in 55 minutes, an introduction to this. I can only ask you to pray through it if you're a believer. If you're someone who's somewhat skeptical, go back to Genesis 6. Go back to read about some of this. Go into the future, the book of Revelation. But we're in the middle. And the evolution of the sequence of satanic agenda is all around us. The secret power of lawlessness already operative. That was written about 2,000 years ago. Where do you think it's gone since then? The counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles all relate to And if you're saying, well, I see counterfeit signs, wonders, I see counterfeit spiritual gifts being done in the church. Just did a deliverance the other day praying. Someone had a counterfeit gift of discernment on them that somebody had prayed over and transmitted it onto them. And it was a dark voice that was controlling and was not God the Holy Spirit. Again, in Jesus' name, they were relieved of that. But a counterfeit, it occurred within the counterfeit. They've invaded. We're going to talk about this for an hour coming up this week, Wednesday night. There's a great invasion. I go back now saying it's been going on deeply and broadly for 30-some years, and we have no idea. I'm not saying it's the church's fault. We're saying that this is a satanic plot. This is secret power of lawlessness. But a weak church, an undiscerning church, a powerless church, a Laodicean church, a Sardis church, can't perceive what they need to and what they could. Well, tonight, in the providence of God, where do you stand? If you're lost, please understand, I tell you clearly, you can be found. The living Christ in all of his power and presence, forgiveness and love can come into your life right now. John's Gospel, chapter 7, I point you to Christ. To the believers, to your Savior, to the power of God within. Get prepared this week. Keep us in your prayers. And listen, since we do not have product commercials and all the rest of those kind of things, we simply say, go to shatterthedarkness.net. If you feel these broadcasts and all the work that we do, hundreds of thousands downloading our material all over the place monthly. Listen, if you benefit, think that it's beneficial, that it's needed, we would ask your support in a direct way. Just go and look where it says support. And may God bless and lead. In just about 2 minutes, we're going to be on the radio with Derek and Sharon Gilbert from PID Radio. I want to invite you to that right at the end of this live hour, Monday night, September the 20th. This is Russ Dizdar. We're saying to you that we love you tonight. Hope to see you soon at the conferences. God bless and good night.